CliffCentral.com.
It's Timo ODV with Dancing Again. Almost 8 o'clock on CliffCentral.com. Good morning to you. What are you doing this weekend? Mab still hasn't told us what her plans are for the weekend. Got anything fun going on, Mabani?
You know, I have a choice to go home.
To quack.
Yes. But then I also have a victim lined up for the weekend.
Yeah, I was about to say, how busy is your basement
so currently? What's
the stock level like?
I'm making tough choices here.
This victim, is it just a passing, you know, someone you met recently or someone you know quite well?
No, it's actually a regular setup that we've got going.
Okay. It's not, but it's not boyfriend material.
No, we're not in a relationship.
Okay. So you're using him.
Well, you're always in a relationship with someone.
We are mutually benefiting from each other's services.
Exactly. And that's the nature of the relationship.
Yes.
I like it.
Why? Why wouldn't you want that?
That sounds
like
a good
deal. Because,
I mean,
technically, I suppose I could postpone it to next weekend and go home and see the parents, you know?
Yeah, right. But then, you know, fresh meat. You got to get it while it's fresh. It's the thing with fresh meat. It's in the title.
Now, listen, Lucas, why don't we bring in our guest for the morning? This is a very, very interesting man. His name is Carl Supra. Now, he started at age 6. His father unexpectedly died, and he went to stay with his uncle, who was head of Murray and Roberts Construction Laboratories. So he grew up in the lab, which means that he was constantly being exposed to really interesting things happening around him from an invention, an industrial, intellectual property, ideas, environment. That's the kind of place that, you know, you start to see ideas transformed into practical innovations. And he went to university. His uncle was very clear in his views. If you need any knowledge you don't have, you can buy it. And studying engineering at university will just put blinkers on you, which is a hell of an attitude. You know, if you think about it, most people are much, much too happy to settle into the confirmed ways of gaining knowledge instead of the practical ways. And Carl thought out of the box. For example, Mubs, he built a square swimming pool.
Okay.
All right. And then he couldn't find a pool cleaner that could get into the corners and clean the swimming pool. So he just decided, fine, if I can't find one, I will invent my own. So he goes home, he designs one. It becomes what we know now all over the world as the Barracuda. Tremendously successful innovation. And he's here this morning to talk to us about that and a bunch of other things. But I just wanted to meet you, Carl, because I'm so amazed by people. Everybody's talking about innovation these days, but very few people actually know what it involves. And when it comes to inventing an actual thing, this is a rare talent. It's not just something that anyone can learn. Maybe people have undeveloped and undiscovered and unknown skills in the area of invention, and they still have to get to that point. But it takes a certain amount of, I think, just genius to be able to see a picture in your head, to be able to decide something needs to be done, and then to create a machine or to develop some sort of device that can do that job. It's a pleasure to have you here. Carl Supra is his name, Mubs, and he is our special guest this morning. It's a real pleasure. It's lovely to meet somebody who's doing all the things that you're doing and has done all the things that you've done. Thanks for coming to see us this morning.
Gareth, good morning, and good morning to all the listeners.
Nice to meet you, Carl. First of all, this Barracuda, I mean, it was really a sensation. Did it come about just the way I explained it now? You had a square pool, needed something to fix it.
Let me just correct something. Most of my life I've worked with the Barracuda family, who I will not mention.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the other brand name.
Okay.
And that product, any product develops through the skills of a lot of multi-talented people.
So you're giving credit, like Isaac Newton did, that you're on the shoulders of giants.
Absolutely. A product is only as good as the people and all the experts that surrounds that specific project. So when anybody comes to you and say, I have designed this product, I doubt it if that will be a product that will ever go to market or if it will ever be successful in this world.
So you have to be able to collaborate.
Absolutely. And you also have to have a pool of experts that you can access for that specific technology.
So how did this one come about, the Barracuda? Because I just, where do you begin with something like that? Where do you begin with the idea? Who comes up with the problem? Who comes up with the first part of the solution? How does it all start to happen?
It's a product of evolution. If I could just explain that the first pool cleaner, I don't know if I can mention names.
Sure, you can. You can say whatever you want here.
The father of this all was a young guy called Danny Chauvier.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the East Front, not very wealthy people. They had the old Renault garage in the East Front, which is today a huge grey building.
Yes.
Yes. But he, at night, after working on the cars, used to go and buy or sell lengths of pool cleaner hoses with the old broom that you used to
Push. You used to have to use a broom.
Yes, a broom. So he came to his dad and said, Dad, and his dad was Ferdy Chauvier, could you possibly design something for me that moves by itself and that is automatic and can just be chucked into the pool?
Yeah.
And his dad actually drew it on the back of a cigarette box.
Hmm.
That hammer as we see it today was drawn on the back of a cigarette box. And from there, the whole idea started. But it was a long, long road from that. And I'll explain to you why. Plastics, injection molded plastics, was in its infancy. So when pool cleaners were made in our climate, it worked well.
Mm-hmm.
When it was sent overseas to the colder climates, those hammers just went right through that pool cleaner because of the brittleness. So an important lesson was learned there that if something works here, it doesn't mean that it works out.
That's interesting.
Very much so. So then there was a huge court case that developed between the Barracuda family and the Creepy family.
Right.
At the time, there was talk that if, instead of fighting, if they kept one product, it wouldn't allow the other people to come into the market. There would be no fighting. There was also a very interesting aspect here that when the patent was written for the Creepy Crawly hammer, a pool cleaner moves along by flow interruption of the hose.
It's that little aperture.
Like a hammer. It's a wing.
Right. In the front, and it kind of opens and closes.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's the way that it moves forwards and backwards. Okay,
your hose is a hydraulic ram.
Right.
So when you close it, it does this, you see. But because of the 45-degree angle to the pool, it pulls backwards and it doesn't go forward.
Yes.
But when they describe that patent, they patented the mechanism. Instead of saying, by interrupting the flow of the hose, that motivates the pool cleaner. Because then there would have been no other pool cleaners of that sort.
They would have owned the worldwide rights?
Absolutely.
So they don't?
They don't.
As a result of that. Did they make enough money out of this? I mean, how much money are we talking about?
Huge.
Hundreds of millions.
Yes, absolutely so.
So what was your part in the Barracuda?
Right.
Where did you come into
this? Let me just explain to you. The legal fees on each side a year was $1 million for each party because of the court case.
When they were fighting. Yeah.
So the energy of selling pool cleaners went into generating money to fund the lawyers, which was madness.
Yeah, no one wants to do that.
No. So then there was an Afrikaans guy in Pretoria, Old Man Stoltz. He came with a bicycle tube that opened and closed like you see the Barracuda valve today.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a very crude form,
but
he took it to the Creepy people to buy the patent. They didn't do it. If they had done that, if they had that valve and the Creepy, they would have had the monopoly. But then Old Man Stoltz went to the Barracuda family, which I prefer not to name. They like to be very, very private.
Okay.
And they
their surname isn't Barracuda, by the way, in case you were wondering. Yeah?
Incidentally, that came from the song Barracuda.
Oh, really? Not from the fish?
Well, there was no. From, well, it's the same thing, but that. The old man listened to the song.
Oh, and he liked that.
That's it.
Okay. So this guy with the bicycle pump, old man Stoltz, then goes to the Barracuda family, and did they buy it?
They bought it.
Aha.
Because it was seen as an opportunity to get out of the legalities and the fighting, not as an improvement in the old click-click-click hammer action pool cleaner. And then the development of that started. And when it worked and they started marketing that, it was the end of the court case. So there's a lesson to be learned here that all that energy and money spent on legal fees was totally unnecessary. If they didn't fight, they would have had the world to themselves.
See?
Yeah.
And if they'd come together and decided that they were going to do this in unison, they would have owned the monopoly in the world.
Absolutely.
And they could have split the profits down the middle.
Absolutely.
Everybody would have gained.
Absolutely. But, you know, at that time, everybody is cross with each other. They want to fight.
And there's greed.
Absolutely.
You know, it all comes into play.
Absolutely.
So you come in when, after they've bought this bicycle pump.
Yes, and then it was running.
All right.
But then I used to stay out in Mulder's Drift.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where pool cleaners started.
Really?
Yes. There near Aviantu down that road, that's where it all started.
First pool cleaners.
Yeah, all started there. People don't realize.
Okay.
Right, and I had a small farm just down the road from them. So I had a design workshop there, and we had to travel overseas a lot to go and test pool cleaners overseas.
Right.
So what we decided is we would, on my property, build a square pool in tiles.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, if you have an indoor pool in Europe or in America, you're a very, very wealthy man.
Sure.
It would be square. It would be tiled.
Yes.
So what we said, let's build a square pool here.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting for hours in aircraft flying all over the world.
Yeah, and you can just test it here.
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
But then I saw another problem. All the pool cleaners had exterior floats, which when people jump into the pool, they break the floats, so it didn't last.
Yeah.
Then I said I was going to design a one-piece pool cleaner that I was able to dry with my old Massey Ferguson tractor over it, being a farmer boyke, and chucking it back into the pool.
And it worked.
It worked.
Even after you'd driven a tractor over it.
That is correct.
So today, this thing is durable as hell.
Yes. If I may punt the product,
sure.
It's called the Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
It's available in every shop today, worldwide. There's no servicing team because there's no returns on the product.
Really?
So look at the cost advantages. Instead of boasting about your 20 service trucks standing outside your corporate headquarters, there's none.
Yeah, don't need them.
Don't need them.
So, Carl, then you must have made good money out of that.
No, the reason for that is that the understanding with the Barracuda family is that if you are paid royalties, you have access to their books. So. Oh. They are very secretive. It will not happen. But they paid me, through all the years, a very, very high retainer, which I was absolutely happy with.
Okay.
So
at least your value is appreciated.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But then, so that pool cleaner was done, and unfortunately, the old gentleman had a stroke, and things were scaled down. The
right.
product was selling well, and his family still today run it, etc. He's recovering very nicely. I had a cup of tea with him last week.
Yeah.
And almost ready to go again. And being a real tiger, I can promise you, he will come with another product. We will do another one, and he will be highly successful again at over 80 years of old.
Wow.
He's that type of man.
That's amazing. Now, you've invented many other things, and this design workshop of yours. So tell me what your design workshop looks like. What kind of a place is this? Explain this to me.
You will be very, very disappointed when you see it. It's an old farm shed under the oak trees with all the dogs sleeping.
Okay.
There's nothing high-tech in that place.
And do you have the kind of tools all of us have for, you know, putting up pictures and fixing things and planing wood and that sort of thing? Do you have normal tools like that around you?
Yes, I do. But if I could just explain to you that the technology of creating products have changed massively, massively so. Those days where you and your workshop shaving and making things, those days are gone. I have a very, very long association with the Department of Science and Technology.
Yes.
The Vaal University of Technology, if you just go up the road here, Rivonia, past Teasers, if I may say.
Yes, of course.
They have a huge ad. I'm going to see them a bit later this morning.
What, Teasers or the Vaal University of Technology?
Any case.
We'll get to your other invention in a second, but you might be able to sell it Teasers. Okay, so you've had this association with Department of Science and Technology, and you were saying that innovation has changed, and I think probably because of computers.
Absolutely so. CAD design, 3D CAD design.
Yeah.
So now what happens, if I do a product, I do what we call proof of concept.
Right.
I merely make something that proves that the concept works.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll go through to the university. They've got a huge industrial design department there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can also mention to your listeners, it's available to everybody.
So this is not some closed off thing that only someone who's already invented amazing products can go and try out.
Not at all. It's available to everybody.
So Mubs, all those things you've always wanted to invent, you can go and take there and they'll make them for you.
Absolutely. If there is merit in it.
Sure.
Yes.
Got to have that proof of concept.
Yes. But they have authorities or professors or whatever in every engineering discipline. So instead of running around trying to get outside people to help you, go to the Vaal University. They're there.
And I suppose now you've been paying attention, obviously, to what's going on in 3D printing.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Now, this is a terrific thing because this means that you could print little plastic components in your own home.
Absolutely. As you print...
Imagine if you'd been able to do that when you came up with your first inventions.
For me to make, any invention, I had to physically make it by hand. I had to actually cast it in urethane, make molds, cast it, then put it in the pool, adjust it. It took about 2-3 years to get a working model. And you had to stick with it.
And it wasn't always precise, because when you're working with tools, you might take a little bit too much off, you might add a little bit too much, it might be too big, too small, by fractions. But if you're 3D printing something, it's absolutely meticulously perfect.
What you're saying there is so correct, because the moment you touch any object by hand with a tool, it's imperfect.
Right.
Now, when you've got a working model, you've now got to transfer that into an injection molding tool. So the toolmaker's interpretation of you, what you want, is always a gray area.
Yeah. But this way you can also get, there's almost like a design template that you just have to reproduce over and over again. Right?
Absolutely. So what is happening now? Once I go to the university and I say, guys, here's a working prototype. We put a team together, and sometimes I use outside disciplines, if I may mention it.
Mm.
One of the world's leading designers is a guy called Karl Heinz out on the East Rand.
Mm-hmm.
And he consults to the world. He's a top
designer. What sort of stuff does he design?
Well,
would we know about some of his work?
Yes, they've just completed a project which they use for rapid healing in hospitals. Because what happens these days, when you go into a hospital, they want to get you out of hospital as quickly as possible.
Sure.
So what it is, it's a unit that you apply over the wound, and it applies suction. sucking out all the impurities or some of it, and it increases the healing time by 50%.
What an incredible thing. And he invented this.
Well, he is consulting to a company who did do that.
Mm. Because, again, it's collaborative.
Absolutely. Sure. We must not forget that. I get so annoyed when somebody stands up and says, I am the inventor of that product. There's no such thing. I am merely the motivator.
You know, I read about Edison and about how many patents he also had, his own design laboratory, and
yes.
You know, and he came up with some amazing things. But a lot of the stuff that he patented wasn't even his. He would take other people's ideas when they were about to become useful, and he would patent them. So he actually stole a bunch of ideas. And when we say Edison invented all of these things, he doesn't give credit to anyone else. But actually, there were lots of people involved.
It is always.
And he stole from Tesla, and he stole all kinds of things, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, ask Elon Musk; he'll be able to tell you about that. But there's a very interesting thing. At the end of the 18th century, the head of the U.S. Patent Office said they should close the patent office because everything that could have been designed has been designed.
Really?
Yes.
They were that sure that it was all done.
Yes. Now, if you can look at the last 50 years of what has happened in our lives.
Uh-huh.
My workshop on the farm is now obsolete.
Yeah, you may as well start a bed and breakfast there. There's no point in having that.
No point. It's I should actually turn my workshop into a museum.
You've got a laptop. That's all you need, right?
No. Well, unfortunately, I can't even switch on a computer.
Yeah, so you're not technologically.
No. So I'll go to the guys there and say, draw this and this. Now what happens?
I love that. Do you use a cell phone?
Well, I've just got one. I had the old Nokia, and my new girlfriend explained to me that I can't be seen in public with that.
You know, isn't it brilliant that here you are, this man with these designs in your head and these ideas of building products, and yet you can't use a smartphone. You were using a Nokia. Mubs, this is hysterical, right? It's an irony.
Well, I see Nokia making a comeback in the news, so I wouldn't get rid of your phone just yet.
No, it's the most reliable. Yes.
And you don't use things like, computers?
Not at all.
Tablets?
Not at all. I don't know what that is.
I love it.
But it's very important for me to keep my life simple.
Yeah.
And to focus absolutely on what I'm doing. I must not get distracted. It's 100% focused. That's why I've been divorced once or twice, if I may say.
We had a guy call in this morning. Maybe you're the person with the most life experience in this room.
Yeah.
So we had someone call in this morning. They said, if you want to be successful, is it possible to also maintain a successful relationship? You know, if you dedicate yourself to your job, is it possible to keep a relationship in the best possible condition? And we all had different opinions. Some people said, well, you know, if you're head over heels in love and you're fixated on that person, you're thinking about them all the time, you can't apply yourself meaningfully to work. Other people say, if you're applying yourself completely and utterly to your work, you don't have time for relationships. What's your opinion?
Well, I can only speak from experience.
Yeah.
My last marriage, to a woman who's an equestrian lady, one of the world's top equestrian ladies.
Mm-hmm.
We had a relationship for 20 years where she is so busy with her passion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the workshop all day doing designs. If there's any time, I do maintenance on the farm, seeing to that everything runs right. We only saw each other at night. At 7 o'clock for the first time.
What a pleasure.
And the relationship worked. It lasted.
Okay, so it's possible to have both.
You can. But it's very important that both parties have their passions and that they live their own lives.
And that they're honest with each other.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
You don't have to spend every second with someone to be in love with them. And you also, just because you're not with them all the time doesn't mean you don't love them.
Absolutely. But to answer your question, when I do a product, my whole life revolves around that. It has to.
It's all-consuming, right?
All-consuming.
So you spend the whole day thinking about it, testing it, trying it out, imagining it in different scenarios.
Yes. I go to sleep at about 8 o'clock at night, and the morning I read from 2 to 4,
mm-hmm.
because if I don't, I can't get through everything that I want to read.
Wow.
and then I'll get up very early,
mm-hmm.
and I'll start working. But if I may just come back to the how things have designed or have changed in the design world,
mm-hmm.
now I'll go to the university, and the Vaal University has got printing equipment to the value of 100 million rand. So,
I hope they can print bricks of gold to pay back the money.
Well, to give you an idea, I'm starting a new project at the moment.
Yeah.
And I delivered the concept to them last Friday.
Yeah.
After this show, I'm going through to the university. I'm already uh-huh. picking up the first project for testing tomorrow. 1 week.
Wow.
That would have taken
That's
me.
That's incredible turnaround time.
Absolutely. Because the big thing of...
How long would it have taken you before?
About 6 months. Oh, so that's how it's changed.
Is there a lot of industrial espionage that goes on? Do you
People
have to protect
I've never
stuff?
Seen, I've never seen that. And I'll tell you why. Especially with pool cleaners. The cost of entry into the market
yeah.
is the barrier for most people.
Right.
So there's very few people that can afford injection molds and really do the research. And also the marketing, we must remember that once you've got a product that works, often it costs more to take it to market, like we are doing here, and getting people to know about it than it costs to actually make the product.
Because everybody gets caught up with the lawyers again
Madness.
In intellectual property stuff and patents and protection. You don't need to worry about that.
I have never in my life been challenged on any project, right in the beginning on pool cleaners. Obviously, there was a lot of argy-bargy. But since then, never ever in my life has somebody tried to steal the patent or to do anything detrimental to that product. Never. So I can't say it's a fallacy. What I do is when I do have a product, I'll go to the patent office. I'll lodge the patent. It cost me $65.
That's it, huh?
That's it. Now with the Vaal University, they're part of an organization. I'm punting for Vaal University here. I'll tell them that they owe me when I go.
Yes, basically. Of course. And they owe us as well.
Yes.
They can give me that 100 million rand printer.
Sure.
And you and I can make inventions.
Yes, but...
Yeah, carry on.
There's an organization called National Intellectual Property Management Organization.
Mm-hmm.
When the university gets involved, they take a small stake in the project. And then it happens that NIPMO, that is state-funded, pays for the patents worldwide.
Oh, that's good.
And people must remember that because here you've got access to all the technology, bringing the project to market, and also they do the patent protection.
Hmm.
So
that is terrific. So good for the university and good for this Institute for Intellectual Property.
Absolutely. So I'm in a very comfortable situation that because we've done successful projects in the past, I have an open door to go there and access their facilities and abilities.
When they see you coming, do they see dollar signs?
Well, there's a problem there, if I may say so.
Yeah.
When we look at MIT in America, MIT earn and royalties $65 billion US a year. Here in South Africa, and I'm sorry to say that, there's a mindset that the universities, technical institutions, are funded by the state, and there's no need to make money internally.
Yeah, and then you without having huge amounts of money like MIT do, you sometimes can't afford the equipment and the staff and the know-how.
Absolutely.
To be able to keep growing and developing these ideas.
Absolutely. So what is happening here? They sit with all the equipment, all the brains, and it's not really been used to its potential. I'm one of the few people who actually have access to that, or who have accessed it. So it's actually a sad situation.
Well, let's not get sad. There's plenty to be excited about. You've invented a cock ring.
Yes. Shall we go from rapid prototyping to the cock ring?
I mean, listen, what a thing to be involved in. I mean, first of all, can you talk about this invention with your friends, or do they immediately go, oh, my God, Carl, really?
What
you're doing?
So it's called the Eros ring.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about
I'll
this.
I'll open this bucket here and just show you.
How did this whole thing come to be?
Right.
How do you go from barracudas to
ring? Huh? Well, what happened is that... Yeah, from pool cleaners to cock rings.
People want an adjustable strap and they want a comfortable material. And
what happened to me, Cliff?
Sure,
and
I
should write a book about this. Is that?
But this could become a very popular product, right?
It is huge. But if I can just explain the background to this, okay. And here I'll go on national radio or whatever.
Sure. Worldwide.
And I'll explain to the world that I had a problem with an erection. I mean, you can imagine what that is going to do with my possible engagement with future ladies.
Yes, of course. You're going to ruin your chances now.
It's
think
gone.
You can't get hard.
Yeah.
All right. So this thing is basically it's a ring, but it's got an adjustable strap in it. It's almost like those bracelets that you have.
Yes.
Where you're able to put it around your wrist, and then you can decide how big or small you want it to
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mubs. And it doesn't slip off, by the way.
It's a special device
to keep it in
If
place.
I may I just give our website to your listeners, because if they access that website, they will have a better understanding of what we're talking about. Yes. May I read it?
Of course. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's
www.erosring.info. Right.
And our email address is info@erosring.info. Right.
Gareth, take it off your wrist.
I think it looks great on my wrist, Ben.
You're giving yourself...
Right.
Stopping the blood flow to my hand.
Right. Let's start with this. It's actually a hilarious story.
Mubs, you need to pay attention to this, too.
Yes.
She's already got one in her hand.
And you may take one of those. Right. What happened is that I was asked to exit the marriage of my lady there in Muldestrift.
All right. She said, you're no good to me. You can't even get hard.
It's a normal story.
All right.
But then I must also say that sex was not really on the agenda. We were hardworking people 7 days a week.
Sure.
You sleep at 8 at night.
Sure, who needs it?
And you, well, now I know that I need it. But you up at Sparrows.
Right.
So it wasn't really an important thing.
Okay.
So when I was asked to exit, as some of us do get requested to do,
yes.
I don't think I'm the only guy in the world, I was introduced to a lady in Sandton of all places.
Yes.
Now, I hardly wore shoes for 20 years, just being confined to the farm.
Right.
Suddenly, I had to meet somebody in Sandton.
Some fancy lady.
Yes.
Okay.
And my first adventure was going to Sandton City, where I couldn't access the parking. It was horrible.
It was the first time you'd been to Sandton City.
Yes.
And it was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Sure.
Right. And then I had to meet her at a restaurant. I don't know if I may call the name.
You could say anything you like here.
It's at a place called Tasha's.
Yes.
And I didn't know the place existed.
It was busy. There were thousands of people.
Yes. Yeah. And there I'll go with my old Volvo station wagon.
Yeah.
With my polished Oxford toe caps.
Yes.
My old trousers.
Yes.
And nice white shirt.
Okay.
And I'll meet this chick.
Yes.
And obviously she was horrified because she never expected to see this.
How did you two first engage? On online?
No. We were introduced by an old school friend of mine.
Oh, very good. So this is an old school way of meeting. A mutual
correct.
Friend.
Okay. Absolutely.
So you're in Tash's. You're wearing you're looking good.
I thought so.
No, you're looking good. I mean, you've tidied yourself up. You've left the
yes.
farm. You put on shoes, for God's sake. I mean,
yes.
You're now at Tash's in Sandton. This is very impressive. And there she sits.
Beautiful. And then here is a wake-up call for me.
Mm.
65, gym body,
mm-hmm.
dressed perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And when things progressed after a few dates
mm-hmm.
to the bedroom,
yes.
it was explained to me that I'm actually not up to scratch.
She said to you, you have an inferior erection.
The word she used was actually useless.
Jesus. How does that make you feel?
Well, you must imagine, when my car was criticized, my dog and my ability to make love, it really brings you down to earth.
An evil woman. How did she take it down?
It was also explained to me that her previous boyfriend that was 10 years older than me was much better.
Huh.
So,
how insulting. Most men wouldn't be able to come back from that. I mean, Ben, if Daniela told that to you, you wouldn't know how to come back from that. You'd give up. Right?
Well.
Mubs, you don't talk to men like that. No, come on.
No, I mean.
You wouldn't say to him, I was with a guy who's 10 years older than you. He was better than you.
You know, women are very cutthroat with their words.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
Then when I asked her out, yes, I actually found out that sex is not only something that the men want. That women actually enjoy.
Of course,
I mean, I was in a secluded world. I didn't know that. Huh. And she also explained to me that she will mention this to her friends and I would be an absolute no-no in future.
Right.
So
she would even sell you out to all of her friends. This is wickedness. This is evil.
I think it was all part of the whole thing to motivate me to do something about it.
Wow. Okay. That's some motivation.
It was some motivation, okay. I can assure you.
Okay.
So then what I did, I've got a friend called Johan Brits. We've done many projects from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And I went to see Johan and I said, look, Johan, all these guys that I speak to about impotence, they're all beer-swilling fat guys of my age. And none of them have got a problem. I've never been ill in my life. I'm fit.
Yeah.
How come I've got a problem? And all these guys are tigers in the bed. How can it be?
Yes.
So then Johan said he knows the head urologist of the Pretoria University, which was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So off we went and we saw her. What she explained that an erection is just an hydraulic function.
Hmm.
Blood enters the penis shaft and it comes out. If you can restrict the flow, you get an erection.
Damn right. Who doesn't understand that? Any questions? Put your hands up now. Everybody understands this basic principle.
Well, I'll ask you.
All right.
Right. Then, here I was. Back to pool cleaners.
Okay.
Hydraulics.
Again.
Polymers.
It's your area of expertise.
Absolutely. If there's somebody who can solve the problem, it's me.
Sure.
Right. And then, I've got a friend who's in his 80s, who has been working on a special bicycle saddle that does away or helps you not to become impotent. Because, sorry cyclists but out there, but cycling creates impotence.
Yeah. Everybody
reason number 7052.
Yet another good reason to stay away from bicycles.
Thank you. Other than being killed on the road.
Of course. Get to
so
the
it's
point.
Impotence and being killed. In any case.
All right. Which are two pretty damn good reasons, stupid cyclist. All right.
Right. So then I went to see the urologist, Dr. John, and he got out all these medical books and he explained to me exactly how it works.
Yes.
Then I started going back to my old workshop with the old technology.
Uh-huh.
And also studied the subject. And what happens is that
you have models of penises. And, I mean, how are you doing this?
Well, they are learned to actually operate Google, which I've never done in my life.
Okay, great.
There were very graphic descriptions of equipment being used.
Yes.
Right.
To sustain and maintain erection.
That is correct. And then I found out that cock rings are being used quite common.
Yeah.
There are over 700 manufacturers of cock rings in this world.
What a business.
Absolutely. It's huge.
And this is not just in porn movies. This
not
is
at all.
Ordinary people.
Ordinary people.
Yeah.
But also very much so in the gay community.
Okay.
It's an
big in the gay community. So you could be saving a lot of gay people's relationships with these.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Right. Then I tried to speak to all my friends about this problem, but they had no problem. So then I went to speak to some gay guys, and they were very explicit about the problems. A O-ring is a round, flexible piece of urethane or rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, sizes differ. All my friends I spoke to, they were all like donkeys. They all had huge things.
Lucky
that's
them.
That's all they told you.
Yeah. Lucky yeah, so, them. None so, of them had no. a problem, and they all had huge
yeah.
penises.
Yeah.
I think they're all bullshitters. That's what I think.
Well, I found out in the end that that was so. But then, there's a problem with an O-ring, is that it has a limited expansion and contraction rate.
Yes.
So you need something that throughout the, when it's flaccid, when it expands and returns again, to maintain a certain level of elasticity to maintain the erection.
Yes.
Also another problem. When you put the O-ring on, if you put it on when you erect, you're going to be full of pain, my boy. And how do you get it off?
Yeah, wow.
Then the urologist also told me that sometimes at night he's been called out to theater where guys use round metal rings and they put it on when it's flaccid, and when it's erect it just keeps on pumping up, pumping up.
Oh my God, and they can never get it off. And then he has to surgically remove it.
It's called an angle grinder.
Jesus. You take an angle grinder. Can you imagine that?
We had a story like that last year in the news.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but in any case.
That's terrifying.
It is. Can you imagine that going to the doctor?
And humiliating.
You can't tell your friends about that one.
No.
Right. So, now there's another thing. Once you've got this O-ring on, you only get an erection from the O-ring forward.
Yes.
So, it's in front of the testicles, forward. And the rest in the back is still limp. So, that doesn't really help too much.
It's terrible. It's like you're trying to shove a concertina down a, you know. Terrible.
I'll leave that one to you. But, so, then the design brief. And everything that you start, there must be a design brief. You must know what you're aiming at to achieve.
Okay.
So, what we said is we need something that is flat, because you don't want round, because that's uncomfortable. It cuts into the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It must have a flat area, like I'm showing here, yeah, and an area where it can be tensioned.
Adjusted.
Adjusted or tensioned.
Okay.
Now, there's another thing. The whole thing has got to have a feeling of skin.
Yes, it can't be hard like metal or...
Nothing.
Yeah.
And now you must have a soft urethane that is lockable into itself, which itself is a contradiction. How do you achieve that?
Yeah. And especially if it's smooth, it'll just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't get any...
Yes. Yeah. So, then what we had to do is design such a thing. It took us 2 years to merely get the locking mechanism that you see here to operate.
Right. Fantastic.
So, another thing was that when you go and visit your girlfriend, you can't arrive with a shoebox full of equipment.
No.
It had to be discreet.
Yes.
In your pocket.
If you arrive with a shoebox of equipment, she's going to run. Going to run and hide. Get the gun.
Yes. Yeah. So, also, we didn't want this to be a sleazy thing.
No.
It's a lifestyle thing.
Sure.
So, when we eventually got the Eros right to work,
mm-hmm.
I handed samples out to all of my friends. And all those guys, and I hope you're listening, all of you guys, yeah. Who didn't have a problem, suddenly asked me if they could have samples.
Sure. Yeah, yes. Of course.
Yes, all the tigers now got samples.
I hope you made them pay.
I did.
Yeah, good. Sell them to them. Don't give them for free.
Yes.
Now, which part goes under the balls?
Well, I'll just explain to you how it works. Is that the testicles go through here.
All right.
Penis shaft through there.
Yeah.
You push it up against your body.
Mm-hmm.
Tighten it.
Yeah.
And just lock it into position.
Okay. So I would do...
Yeah, so that flat rubber thing must be in the top of your shaft, essentially.
Yes, that's it.
This piece.
So I didn't read that from the manual.
Yeah, that's
just,
the top.
I'm
that needs to go on the top.
Yes. Yeah. So that's at the top, and all you do...
No risk of injury?
Not at all. You will see the tube section here in front, especially designed that it doesn't pull the skin in there and actually create hurt.
Because you don't want that.
No. No, no.
Jesus.
And it's also very good advice to get the weed eater out and to trim the bushes.
Yes, you should never have. I mean, this is unacceptable.
Completely. Yes, because a lot of guys have phoned me and said, Carl, I'm battling. And I said, look, Get the weed eater out of the tool shed, clean up, and it'll work far better.
But, you know, if a man of your life experience and your age, not that you're an old man, but, you know, you're older than us significantly.
Sure.
If you know this, there's no excuse.
Absolutely.
How can anyone younger than you possibly use it, the excuse that they are ignorant of this? We're in the world of Google.
Correct.
You know, do us a favor.
Sure. Now, then we introduced this at the last expo, which was towards the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge, huge success.
Great.
Also in education, 80% of our purchases were made by females.
You're right, because they're sick of these slop, lazy, half-assed directions.
Absolutely. Mm. So we had guys hiding around the walls where the wives come in.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, please, that guy there is
mine.
Useless.
It's terrible.
And I want...
Help me with your cock ring, Obi-Wan. You're my last hope.
Please. Yeah. And some even bought some for friends.
Right. So what a kind and generous thing to
absolutely,
do.
Absolutely. So it was a runaway success. And in March, there's another Sexpo at Gallagher Estate.
Yes.
And we will be selling this there again.
You might have saved, imagine the number of gay relationships you've saved.
Not only them, heterosexual relationships too. Because now what has happened? My lady, who I'm with at the moment, was always sexually demanding.
Oh,
because
good.
It was an embarrassment more for me, because obviously I couldn't meet the needs.
Yes.
But now things have changed.
Now you're demanding.
I've got erection on call.
Ah, and you don't have to pop these pills that send your heart rate sky high, right?
I'm so glad you're bringing me to that.
Oh.
Because as part of this whole development, I had to buy all sorts of pills and try them all. And it's ghastly.
Yeah. And what did it do to you? Bad side effects?
Yes. If I can just mention how these pills work, is that it activates a part of your brain that actually closes off the return flow from your penis. And that creates the blockage or part blockage, which gives you an erection.
Mm.
Now, irrespective of the pills, if your mindset is not right, it's not going to happen. So now what we are doing is when you put this on, it's a mechanical way of achieving an erection. Your mind has got nothing to do with it.
Ah.
Now you can have multiple erections. Once you've done the deed, after an hour or 2 hours, as some of my friends say, you can wait a while, apply this again, and you can do it again.
Start again.
Yes.
Well, my buddy, the timing could not be better for your weekend ahead. Isn't this a boon? Isn't this a godsend? I mean...
So, yeah, if you look at this humble project,
yes,
it can change lives, because now in my own relationship, I am now the boyki.
There we go.
I don't have to be embarrassed.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And now the demand has decreased because it's available. It's like everything in life.
Good for you.
Yes. So,
have you had people write letters to you saying thank you, thank
we
you,
have had
Jesus of the cock ring for what you've done to my sex life?
We've had those. They're on our website.
Yes.
Also, a lot of telephone calls, guys saying, well done, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a lot of guys who avoid the pills, or people who are under severe medication.
Yes.
They don't want to take the medication because of the side effects of impotence.
I would go so far as to say that that every man should have one of these in case.
Yes.
Every man should have one in the cupboard. You never know.
It is.
You might be young and virile now, but you never know.
Well, that is so, but can I just mention to you, one of our leading pharmacy suppliers, who I won't name, I spoke to their head of security, and he told me their biggest theft item was sexual enhancers.
Oh, really?
From youngsters.
People steal them, huh?
Yeah, because of lifestyle, stress. So this is not just an item for silver pints. It is from young to old.
Right. Not just for the silver foxes.
No, not at all. So now our situation is when we go somewhere, the first thing my girlfriend does
mm-hmm.
is she puts this into the bathroom bag. It goes with it. It's the first good. To be packed in.
And it's very discreet and it doesn't take up a lot of space.
Absolutely.
What a win.
You can almost put in one of those, like, you know, your dental retainers. You get this little box.
Oh, no.
You put in one of those.
Oh, thank you.
No, you could.
Easy. It goes in the toiletry bag.
So, can you imagine where the situation is going to come one day, where this is a standard item in the bathroom cupboard?
Yes, well, it should be. Why the hell not?
Absolutely.
Are you doing well already out of this, or is it still going to come to its fruition when you make
We're
millions?
Busy with the marketing now.
Mm-hmm.
After
is this a better invention than the Barracuda?
Well, it's due to make more money, isn't it?
I think so. Sure.
As the old man from that company said to me, there are more penises and more desires than pools.
Absolutely. Now, what else is on your agenda? Is this going to be your magnum opus, or are there other inventions that you still have to do that you have on your list of to-dos? They're in your head, and you're going to make them happen soon.
Right now, with every project, and it's so important, is to take the project, finish it.
Yes.
Take it to market.
Right.
And only once that circle has been completed do you start new projects.
So you don't run a bunch of them concurrently.
Doesn't happen that
way. Because
you
get distracted.
You will get distracted. So this, right now, is the focus, taking it to market. Fortunately, I have a beautiful association with Johan Brits, the businessman. I'll make it work, put it in a box, and he takes it from there. He's outside here at the moment.
And he will market the hell out of it.
He does that. That's what he does.
Brilliant.
He's got a background of international marketing, especially in the medical field. So I'm in a beautiful situation where I have the Vol University helping me to bring the product to market.
Yeah.
Thereafter, it's handed over to him, and his marketing team takes it worldwide.
Do you think that when you were in that lab, that Murray and Roberts lab all those years ago, have you ever have imagined that you would have ended up inventing cock rings?
Didn't know that it existed.
You had no idea, right?
Yeah. You see, I've been very, very secluded from the real world.
Sure.
You know, people or places like Sandton City, to me, it was foreign stuff. So, I mean, cock rings would be the furthest thing from my mind.
Right. And look at this.
But we must also remember, for me at 65, it's a new life. It's exciting. Living in this different world, a very materialistic world, if I may say so.
Mm-hmm.
This world here, what you drive, what you wear, is seen as an extension of your own personality. And if you don't have that to hang on, you're nobody.
That's it.
It's scary. It's really scary.
Have you ever had a complaint from anyone that the cock ring is too small or too big? Are there penises that are small, too small to even...
Gareth, remember, you got to put your balls in there too.
You put your balls in as well.
Well, it has to be.
Yes, of course, you get the whole length.
It has to go
up
right against, because then you get an erection forward.
Right.
But
you're going to be so bad at using this. I can just see it now. You didn't listen to the tutorial.
Doesn't need it.
I'm gonna have to. Is there a tutorial?
Absolutely. With the thing you, it's in there. You can go on the website. I don't think you'll really need it. When the need is there, you'll make it.
No penis too big, because my buddy is looking at this now and she's thinking, looks a bit small. Yes, Mavs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not?
Can you imagine this?
Oh, she's imagining it right now. Many people are. All right, Carl. Well, listen, you're a very interesting man. And I'm sure that this is only the beginning for you. 65 is not old.
Not at
These
all.
These days, 65 is the beginning of things.
Yes.
You know, and to my mind, you're inventing things that are useful to everyone at any age.
Absolutely. It's the most important invention for mankind.
Of all time. Not the telephone.
Forget it.
Not the computer. Not the space shuttle. This is it, the cock ring.
Elon Musk is nothing when you compare it to this.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Before, if I presume that we're coming to the end of the show now.
Well, we got to, you know, we got to get out of here eventually.
See, he really can go on forever, can't he?
You can. You just keep on going with that big cock ring of yours.
May I just repeat the website and the email address for people who want to access?
Go ahead.
www.erosring.info. Our telephone number 062-095-7178. Email address info@erosring.info. And our price is 370 rand, including delivery in South Africa.
Fantastic. Wow, it includes delivery.
Absolutely.
Not bad. That's a good deal.
Remember, this is reusable.
Do you need to replace this after a couple of years?
No, it shouldn't be, because this material is FDA approved. It's the Federal Drug Administration of the U.S. Not that we need it, because this is not used internally. Yep. And afterwards, if you rinse it under hot water, it's fine.
Okay.
And all your lubricants and stuff will not affect this.
Fantastic. It's urethane.
Absolutely. Right. Now, if you think that lasts on a pool cleaner, an average pool cleaner, when it runs 8 hours a day in a year, runs from here to Cape Town. So if that can last, this can last.
Well, what can I say? You've told us everything.
Thank you.
After this, there is no excuse for anyone to have a bad sex life.
It's up to them.
It's only up to you. And if you have a bad sex life, you are to blame. Don't you dare blame anyone else, because we've got this cock ring that'll change your life.
Much appreciated. Right.
Sorry, last question. What colors does it come in?
I've got a pink one here, Ben.
There's pink and then there's like natural.
Pink, there's yellow. And we've also told that it should be blue.
Oh.
But 80% of our sales have been in white.
People like that, huh?
They like white.
It looks almost like transparent and
correct.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking, like, for your next step, you can get sport team colors. So you can get like a Lions logo or a Stormers logo, and you make it blue or red.
Absolutely.
And luminous ones.
Luminous ones.
Glow in the dark ones.
People like a bit of that. They're showy people.
Absolutely. You
know? Glow in the dark. I'm in for that.
Very good. Well, listen, Carl, you've done it all. And I do hope that you will end up with the most money for your invention that anyone's ever been paid for anything.
Much appreciated.
Right. And keep up that very busy sex life of yours, all right?
Thanks a lot, Len.
Busiest 65-year-old I know. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Let's wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. By the time you wake up tomorrow, Barack Obama will no longer be president of the United States. People widely thought he was da bomb, which is fitting, seeing as the U.S. dropped roughly 3 bombs an hour in foreign countries while Barack Obama was president. Nigel Farage and the rest of his Brexit team are in Washington for Trump's big day. Some think this is a political trip and want to enforce the alliance between Trump and Farage, but actually it's the start of Hangover 4. That's right. The plot is based around Farage and Trump getting really wasted tonight and waking up in Mexico with no phones and no passports. Hollywood insiders believe this is going to be the movie of the 2017 summer. And finally, in sport, Novak Djokovic was unexpectedly knocked out of the Aussie Open yesterday. This further extends his slump in form, which has seen him without a major title since the 2016 French Open. Sure. Djokovic didn't seem bothered, though, saying tennis isn't cool anymore since Andy Murray became world's number one, and he's probably going to quit pretty soon anyway. Have a good day. We will see you Monday, because tomorrow is the weekend. Tomorrow is Saturday. Have an excellent weekend, and thanks for joining us this morning. Coming up next is none other than Gas Comedy Podcast, followed by Sex Talk, and then on into the Casper Radio Show and many other great shows through the course of your day today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to our guest, Carl Supra. Thank you very much to Mubs, Ben. Thank you to Lucas. Thank you to Sia. And most especially, thank you to you. CliffCentral.com.